Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, here we go on a Red Friday in Kansas City. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. And as Dusty said at the end of the show, apparently you're the Richard of the week. You hear that?
Oh, for being falsely accused and then defending myself?
He called you his Richard of the week. That's the first time I think any coworker at the station has been named Dusty's Richard of the week. That's not good.
I mean, still pretty early on in the show, so there's lots of time for Dusty to name other coworkers that. And look,
not on the air.
I was falsely accused of stealing a tweet. I then defended myself by apparently falsely accusing him of something else. I think we're both at fault here. You know, we could have just handled this like gentlemen. And now, instead of being called a Richard of the week,
have you seen the text line? It's not good for you right now. It's not pretty.
I didn't do anything.
There's a carryover effect from Fesco and Dusty this morning.
You want me to read some of these? Steal anything? And he accused me of stealing something.
It says Cody like shaming when he averages 4 likes a tweet. You did like shame him. You definitely did.
Okay.
You definitely did like shame him.
And I said I regretted that to Dusty.
You definitely did.
I said pretty much immediately. Okay, that one I'm probably the Richard of the week for. Admittedly. That one was bad. Should I pull back up the likes? If I'm already should I make it worse?
Someone says I'm here for the Dusty and Cody feud. Try. Someone else says that's a 13-year-old girl move right there. Mm.
The like shaming? He accused me of something.
No, it definitely is. It screams like teenager.
Yeah.
I got more likes than you, though.
Totally.
My gosh.
I think we said
but
that at the time.
It.
Yeah, so now it's definitely.
He started
like
by saying, you said the thing I said.
I have more followers than you, Dusty.
Man, oh, man. So that you guys got to sort that out.
I left my tweet up. That's how innocent I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
I retweeted Dusty. I put his information out there. And now that I think about it, honestly, our tweets are not even about the same thing. His is about Patrick Mahomes' performance since DeAndre Hopkins has come up. Mine is about Patrick Mahomes' second half performance as it relates to pressure. They're different things. They have a quarter in common, maybe.
Nonsense.
But you stole the stat from his notebook.
And you've got that title. You've got that title for the week. Yeah, the notebook's always here.
It's Friday, so I only got what? Living there with the weekend?
I think Bob's rubbing off on Dusty a little bit. Bob's still old school with the notepad and stuff. And Dusty, I don't know if Dusty's always been that way, but they're both
Bob's
very
doing
big.
Songs on the morning show now.
I haven't heard it.
So this whole show's against us. I got it. Fesco and Dusty are an enemy of this show. That's fine. It's been made clear.
Wow.
You've made enemies. That's fine. And we'll have to live with that. We're now enemies.
It seems like most of this is being directed towards you. You're the one that makes the songs. Bob's making songs again now. Obviously, you and Dusty's tweet was directly related to each other. Mm-hmm. So I don't know
true.
You got to sort this out. Drew and I actually have no beef with the morning show.
We need some HR management.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I'm hosting shows with Mac on After Hours. I mean,
that's
true. I think we're getting along pretty well.
Nope, we're enemies. We're a
you
unit.
You have to decide is what you're saying.
Yes, you choose them, a different show, or this show. This show. You know?
Oh, I'm choosing this show. Drew?
I'm choosing this show
okay.
as well.
Good. That's a good answer.
You hosting with Mac tonight?
No.
Okay.
He was on earlier in the week.
I was going to tell you to punch him one time.
Whoa. now we've escalated it.
Oh,
even
my
higher.
Goodness.
Okay. Well, this is going to be interesting to see how this turns out. They're still in the building, too. Dusty, last time it involved him opening the door and yelling in the background of Drew's microphone. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun show today. Already off to a heck of a start.
I'm in a mood, apparently.
Club, yeah, Fan Club Friday. We've got a member of the Tapp family joining us.
That's right.
Your, which brother is this?
This is my youngest brother.
Youngest brother.
Stefan. You've met a couple of my brothers over the years, I believe. I don't know if you've met Stefan.
I don't think we have, actually.
Have you been? You haven't ever been to the Tapp family gambling event, right?
No. I was at the Chili thing. Met some of your other family members. But anyway, so during the fan club today, we've got Cody's younger brother joining us in the studio. We'll get some stuff set for the weekend. Also, in about an hour, Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI, will join us. Plenty to get into with him as it relates to Chiefs and Browns. And, of course, what everybody's been talking about this week. One, Hollywood Brown getting cleared by his doctor to open up maybe the practice window today or Monday. DJ Humphreys not practicing. So what's that tackle situation going to look like on Sunday? Those are some of the things we'll get into with Joshua Briscoe. And you guys can always hit us up, as we've already been reading your text, 913-586-7965 on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. I find this fascinating. So we, on our show, we try to come up with what we're going to talk about, and we have different opinions we put in there. Cody and I are on polar opposite sides on basically it's like the same topic, but polar opposite sides. I did not know this at the time. Like, we both type in our thing. He has his in there. And we are completely viewing this game differently. For example, Chiefs and Browns, I think this will be the most comfortable Chiefs game for fans since the Saints Monday Night Football game. I really believe that. And the thought is, and I understand Myles Garrett, everybody's terrified of Myles Garrett, and we know the tackle situation. Part of it is, man, the Chiefs have been dealing with this tackle situation all year. Like, this isn't like suddenly out of nowhere. And Myles Garrett is terrific. They've also faced some amazing pass rushers throughout the year. I just think we have overinflated what the Cleveland Browns are. We just have, and the Chiefs are not going to go the entire season.
They're a three-win football team.
The three-win football team, for all the talk about the Chiefs not covering seven straight, the Browns with Jameis Winston are 2-7 against the spread this week. This season, I'm sorry. The Chiefs are four-point favorites, if you're wondering. I think something has to give here. The Chiefs don't force turnovers. Jameis does nothing but turn the ball over. Five picks in the last couple of weeks.
I know, but I think there's probably more games where Jameis didn't turn the ball over than the Chiefs got a turnover. But they have 10 the entire year. They don't take the ball.
Too many people watched the Thursday night snowy game in Cleveland 3 weeks ago where they upset the Steelers and just assume that that's just like now Cleveland's a good football team. I'm sorry. Like, I just disagree. Like, something's got to give here. It's starting to get into December when Mahomes is at his best. And we acknowledge that that's what they've been. They've now played back-to-back games where it's 19-17. Like, this is now the third game back for Pacheco. I'm not saying they're winning by 20 points. No. I'm saying they're
going to... I don't know how you can predict that anymore.
But they're going to cover for the first time in seven games. They're going to win this thing by 6-plus or so. I think this will be the least stressful Chiefs game we've had since the Saints game in Week 5.
Okay, look, obviously I would much rather be wrong on this one and that you are right. And that would make me feel quite a bit better. The reason why I think that this game will be incredibly close is the obvious one. The Cleveland Browns are the number one pass, like, pressure rate team in the entire NFL. Yep. Number one. Like, so, I mean, you got to think about that.
Sure.
Like, and that is the direct Chiefs weakness. Sometimes for me, it's not about the quality of the team, but the way that they line up against you.
Of course.
Like, for instance, I think Denver is a very bad matchup for Kansas City, a worse matchup than some better teams than them. Because of what they do and what Benito did and what they do defensive and offensive line. So the Chiefs aren't good at getting pressure, and the Denver Broncos have the number one offensive line in the league this year. So, like, that lines up poorly and causes another issue. I think it's going to be close because I think the Chiefs are going to have a really hard time with pressure. The way in which I think it goes the way you're talking is if the Chiefs, for the first time in, like, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months, run it.
Yep.
And I mean run it a lot. Because Cleveland is a mediocre to bad run-stop team despite their ability to get a pass rush. And so if they decide to actually commit to the run, we might be having a different conversation.
Yeah, I think they can run.
I haven't seen them do that in a long time, which means I think they'll fade back, get under pressure, and it's going to be hard-earned passing yards against Myles Garrett and others. I think they're going to get sacked a few times again, which I think inevitably leads to another close game. Do I think they're going to lose? No. But do I think this game is going to be dangerously close against a three-win team? Yeah, I kind of do.
I just, you know, it's getting later on in the year, and we're, I think, you know, after Buffalo lost and seeing where things are at in the playoff picture, and there's something to be said when we've heard Mahomes and Chris Jones talk about the early bye week and how the stretch of games is brutal. I think they recognize they go out and handle their business against Cleveland. then the worry about the rest, a lot of that goes away. You know, there's a chance Buffalo loses this weekend as well. And there might be a quick reward coming for this team. If, you know, not that they're not putting an effort these other weeks, but if they can handle Cleveland, there's light at the end of the tunnel in terms of, hey, we know we got a bye week coming like that. I mean, I really believe the Chiefs don't get upset this weekend by Cleveland, because I think the Bills are going to lose. I think that the number one seed is over, and the Chiefs can be in a much better position heading into Houston and Pittsburgh. And so I think there's something to be said for that. I hear you on the matchup at the defensive line versus the Chiefs O-line. That's been the story this entire year. I get it. And we can say Myles Garrett's going to wreck the game. I've seen plenty of other teams wreck the game already. There is a certain degree. Myles Garrett's the best pass rusher they have seen yet.
Had even mediocre pass rushers wreck a game.
Guess what I'm saying is, like,
they're not good enough to make it close.
Well, just to what, I mean, at some point, like, you're maxed out. Like, they're not sacking Mahomes he's not getting sacked 20 times. Like, so I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, other teams we've been like, man, they're wrecking havoc. Oh my gosh, they don't have an answer. Like, Myles Garrett's not getting 7 sacks in the game. Like, so there's still a limit to what it does. And the Chiefs, I believe, if they are willing to run the football, will have success there. Most of my logic, Cody, is on the Browns offensive side, where we know the Chiefs have given up yardage, but they're not giving up points. This is a Browns team that, you know, not that long ago, everybody has the Steelers game from Thursday night in the back of their mind. And
yeah.
I want to remind you, they just got beat up
and
pretty
good.
And
they got the Ravens earlier in the year. They get some good teams
sometimes.
They
also lost like 35-10 or something to the Saints this year, too. I mean, this is still a three-win football team. And Jameis is going to give the ball up. One thing the Chiefs defense has not been doing, as we've discussed, is turning the ball or getting takeaways. So all of a sudden, if this defense, Cody, that's not giving up a ton of points, that's giving up long drives, all of a sudden, if they're getting a turnover or two in a game, and to me, they're going to on Sunday based on Jameis's track record, that changes the entire dynamic of this game being close the way these other games have. When they've been winning 19-17, have they really turned the ball over much? No.
No. No, they've actually been protecting the ball quite a bit better. We talked about that, funny enough, in the tweet about Patrick Mahomes' performance over the last 7 games versus the first 6 games versus the last 7 games. Look, they're Jekyll and Hyde. I'm not here to tell you there's a reason why they are a 3-win football team. But they, in the last 6 games, they have beaten the Ravens and beaten the Steelers.
Yep.
But they've also gotten their ass kicked by the Chargers, ass kicked by the Saints, an absolute shootout against Denver. Because that's the other part, too. Because you'd be like, hey, the Chiefs defense is where they're going to take advantage of this. And they lost that game to Denver. I'm not, again, not saying the Chiefs won't win. But Denver was the number 2 rated scoring defense in the NFL going into that Browns game. Jameis is just one of those guys that I think it's kind of hard to predict what his offensive output is going to be. Because if he's just on one, he will put up a lot of points. Now, he had 497 passing yards and 4 touchdowns in that game. But to your point, he also threw 3 picks. I just think it's a matchup issue. Like, they're bad on the offensive line. That's the only thing. That might be the only thing that the Cleveland Browns do well. And the only thing they might do well on defense is get a big play. That's been the weakness for the Chiefs. I think it's just a close game because of this team doesn't line up well with you. There are teams who do things well that line up better with the things you do well. Like, I fear less the teams that, like, can run it with anybody. Oh, no, here comes a Kyle Shanahan team, and anybody can run for, not last night, but anybody can run for 200 yards with them. I don't care. They've always fared well. Oh, no, here comes Derrick Henry. Oh, no, doesn't matter. That's how they do the job. Teams that, like, get big plays because their quarterback is a fearless psychopath, I don't like that.
There's the other part. We'll get into it, I know, in about 15 minutes or so. We know Chiefs have struggled, or about 20 minutes, I should say. We know the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends. David Njoku hasn't practiced in a couple weeks. That's another area. It's like, all of a sudden, weapon-wise for Jameis Winston, you're getting down to Jerry Jeudy and who else? You know, and Jerry Jeudy and Winston have a nice connection going, and that's where the Trent McDuffie matchup is going to be fun to watch. Between those two. So we'll see. Like, we know the Chiefs are only playing close games all year. I'm not trying to push back on, like,
you're just saying it's going to be comfortable. They'll be up 10 in the fourth.
I think it's the first time since week 5 where it's going to be a comfortable game for Chiefs fans. And it'll be, I think everybody deserves it. It's been a bit. And I think that's going to happen. And people are just overinflating Cleveland, in my opinion, for reminder what kind of football team they've been. So we'll talk about it with Josh Briscoe coming up in about 45 minutes as well. I mentioned Bills and Lions. Huge game. It's the 3:25 slate, and it'll be Nance and Romo after the Chiefs game. So Bills and Lions, number one seed. I don't need to revisit that. I think we all understand what's at stake with that particular scenario. If the Bills lose again and lose two in a row and the Chiefs were to win, the number one seed, I think, is over. I understand some of you are worried about the Steelers. The Steelers have the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. I don't believe they're going to go, you know, win three straight out of that stretch. That's almost what it would take.
They have to pretty much go undefeated.
So
in that stretch.
To me, the number one seed could be over by the end of this weekend if the Chiefs win and the Bills lose. A lot of people think this is a Super Bowl match, preview. Bills, Lions, and you know, there's odds out there.
Crazy.
There's odds out there. You can select exact Super Bowl matchups. This is 7-1. It's one of the most popular. If not the most popular, I think it is. Yeah, I believe it is. If you think about it, the Lions are the number one team in the NFC. A lot of people think the Bills are the number one team in the AFC, even if
not
we disagree.
By record.
Right, but that's how people perceive it. So 7-1, like, yeah, of course it could be a Super Bowl preview. You know, talk about two franchises, though, that have just not been able to get over the hump ever when it matters most. I mean, Bills Lions is like, hey.
They have zero Super Bowls combined in their franchise history, and they both have been around forever.
Yeah. And the Bills, of course, have been there numerous times and came up empty. So I'm intrigued by the game. How do they bounce back? We just saw the Rams, who put up 44 on the Bills, only scored 12 points last night in a weird Thursday night game, all field goals to win against the 49ers. So what was that, an outlier, or is this Bills defense a real problem now and for them? And the Lions offense, we know, can score on anybody. So I like the Lions in the game, and obviously, if people in Kansas City should be rooting for that to be the case. Do you think the Bills can bounce back after their offense scored, but their defense is a real problem, I think, in Buffalo?
So I thought going into the year, this was supposed to be what we would think maybe happens a couple years in Kansas City, which is like the half step back year for Bills. I think they openly admitted it, if we're being honest with each other. And if I go back and look at their schedule, and I'm like, all right, who picked on them offensively? Like, when were they really good on defense? I mean, Arizona had no trouble the opening week. Miami didn't score. Jacksonville didn't score. I mean, these are like some of the worst offenses in the league. We're talking about Ravens put up 35 on them. Okay. Then they held two teams in the 20s and the 10s, and it was the Jets and Houston and Tennessee and Seattle. And you're like, okay, I don't care. They get Tua back. Here comes 27 points. Like, the more I look at them, they even let up 21 to Kansas City, who's a team that, like, could have scored more in that game, and certainly not a ton. The teams they've held down defensively in retrospect are bad football teams. Gold, their points per game is being propped up by bad teams. Now, I'll say that there's a stat that came out earlier today from Aaron Schatz, who does all the DVOA stuff. And this is not going to stun you, but sometimes I think it needs to be reminded to people who are like, oh, man, do they have a problem? Because they got, like, they really got lit up by the Rams. Turns out elite-level defenses fare worse against elite level offenses. A shocker, I know, but in those scenarios, typically the offenses still win out. Doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you have an elite level offense, you will score against kind of everybody, or at least you'll let up more against those teams. So yeah, I kind of view this as a, can you hang against good offenses? Because you're never going to get an answer on that the final 3 weeks of the Bills. This will tell you how much you should fear Buffalo's offense. I'm thrilled to watch this game. I love that this is on the opposite time of the Chiefs, because this is a standalone game. I don't need red zone at 325. I just want Bills Lions.
Yeah, you won't need to watch the other ones if you're a Chiefs fan.
This is the second biggest matchup of the season. Chiefs Bills was one. This was two. Like, of the entire NFL slate, knowing what the records were and what those teams had done, Chiefs Bills was number one. It's the number one rated game of the entire regular season so far. This is the second biggest game of the NFL season.
If we're basing off of ratings, it's always going to involve the Chiefs. If we're just basing it off of, you know, game of the year type of stuff and potential
going
Super Bowl matchup, then this one actually you could argue is a more intriguing matchup. The Chiefs, though, if we're just going on ratings, they're always going to outpace everybody. We've done that for enough years now to see.
I think Chiefs Bills get the added advantage for the, like, game of the year because of the history between these two teams.
Fair.
Bills Lions don't have any history between each other. Just history that both as a franchise haven't gone anywhere. But yes, most people think they're the two best.
That's what it would be. Yeah, I mean, it's just that's the case. What do you think the actual, like, it's Super Bowl matchup. It's 7-1 that this would be the Super Bowl matchup. Lions and
I don't hate that bet.
And Bills. What if I gave you $100? What's the other one you would actually make?
If I had to bet, oh man, Chiefs. Because if I had to bet $100 and it's not the Bills, well, I guess I could still take the Bills. God, you know what? I kind of want to see the Eagles play.
Eagles.
After their thing, you don't want to see the Eagles play a couple games, make sure that Nick Sirianni doesn't lose the whole team again.
That defense.
He did that last year. He lost the whole team last year.
If they were to play, have they played the Lions? Or are they supposed to? I don't know.
I don't know that they have.
I think I would take the Eagles to win right now.
I think, oh God, if you made me choose the second most likely, I'd probably say Chiefs-Lions. Because, like, I wouldn't, there's not another NFC team that I would be, like, more gung-ho about than Bills or Chiefs, right? So, like, I kind of have to change the AFC opponent if you're making me, if you made me change both, and it's not Bills-Lions, and I got to choose two other teams, well, then it's Chiefs. And then on the NFC side, Packers? I don't think my answer is the Eagles until I see that they don't mess it up.
How about the Vikings? You're a believer?
Chiefs Lions is the favorite, by the way, 5-1. Like, as far as actual matchup, the most likely matchup based on odds is Chiefs Lions, then Bills Lions, 7-1. Then it's Chiefs Eagles at 10-1. Then it's Baltimore Detroit at 10-1. Chiefs Vikings 25-1. There's some of those type of matchups further down the board.
Chiefs Vikings at 25-1. Actually, I like the odds on that.
The problem is the Vikings most likely, not guaranteed, most likely are a wild card team. So you're just asking them to go on the play on the road.
You know, in fairness,
throughout the entire postseason,
they're saying in Minnesota, they're saying the exact same thing about this matchup. We're saying,
yep,
the Bills can do the Vikings a massive favor this week.
I hear you. It's just
like they can do them a huge favor.
Credit to Sam Darnold. He's been playing incredibly well. Can I picture Sam Darnold in a Super Bowl? That's just really tough.
I know. Yeah,
it's just really, really tough. I mean, yeah, if you just think the quarterback stuff for some odd reason is out the window in the postseason, which is not usually how this works, then might as well just go ahead and give me Steelers and Vikings while we're at it, Cody, and just give me a ton of odds. And we're going to have Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, a Super Bowl. Like, I can't even say that without almost smirking.
No, come on. Let's be realistic here. If one mediocre quarterback got to the Super Bowl fight,
that's what I'm saying.
It's not going to be Russ versus Darnold.
I know it's not. I'm just saying, like, that's why I struggle to even have Darnold in there. I was trying to see if the odds were out there.
The path for them, too. If they're the
75-1 that it's a Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold Super Bowl.
I like the 20-1 better.
If they're the 5 seed, that means they would play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then go to play the 1 seed and then go to play the 2 or 3 seed. I mean, that would be very difficult.
But in this scenario, right, let's just say with the Vikings, it's like the Bucs, they can beat them. That would be very difficult, there's no doubt. The Lions, divisional game, man. You don't know what the hell's going to happen in division games. That's weird.
Yeah.
They can certainly win, you know, like, and then once you get to the NFC Championship game and you have eliminated the Lions, you're just as good as anyone remaining. Yeah. I don't care if it's the maybe if the Eagles stay hot. Yeah. Maybe
the only long shot I would take, Chiefs Rams Super Bowl matchup, 55-1.
But you had that before the season, so yep, you're still riding high.
Yep.
I don't Rams know, man. Stafford, if he just gets hot for a couple of games, yeah, that means they're going to have a playoff game.
I don't know if you have it up anymore.
And they'll get the 2 seed.
Chiefs Packers. I don't know how
28-1. For a Super Bowl matchup.
Wait, that's even worse than the Vikings.
I would take that.
Oh, I take it back. That'd be the bet I'd make instead.
28-1.
Yeah, I'd take that bet instead.
Yeah, 28-1. Packers, the weather's not going to phase them. I mean, they can play anywhere. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be. Oh no!
If they have to go to Philly in the divisional round, I'm not that concerned about the elements as I would be. Like if the Lions somehow dropped out of the number one seed and they were the 2, and they might have to go to Philly for an NFC title game, that's problematic.
You know what it is with Sirianni too, and I know that they're having a better year, so I should probably just dismiss this. He just feels like the person who will screw it up. Like it just feels like he's going to screw it up. And I know he's been a very good coach and his team's got a lot of wins. He feels like a screw up. Like he's gonna mess up. He already feels like he bungled this Brandon Graham situation where he's like, well, I mean, in front of me, they act happy. I'm like, yeah. And I'm sure your kids behave at the dinner table. Like, you know, come on. Like,
yeah, that's a little worrisome.
Here?
Yeah. That's a little worrisome. Someone says you guys wouldn't have thought Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson would make a Super Bowl run.
I mean, that was a different era,
but also like you're citing the one time in 25 years. That's why the odds are the odds. Like nobody's
against each other?
No, not against each other. He's just saying that they would make the Super Bowl. The Darnold Russell Wilson matchup of the Super Bowl would be terrible. And also, the most unlikely Super Bowl matchup in quarterback wise, maybe in NFL history.
Yeah, to have two mediocre quarterbacks in the same one. Definitely.
I can't even think of one that would have been
like
worse.
Obviously Flacco's made it before. Yes, Brad Johnson and
Jake
DeLome, but head to head.
And also, I will just say, anytime we reference those things, I think what people have probably grown to underappreciate is, let's talk modern football. As in, since things changed the way football kind of gets played, last 20 years, how many bad quarterbacks? Like mediocre quarterback. Flacco?
Yeah, who's the worst quarterback to be in a Super Bowl in the last 15 years?
Flacco, probably, right?
Was that 15 years ago? Was that over 15 years ago?
Is that? Oh, we're getting old if that's been 15 years.
That's
like 2012 or something. Wasn't
I was like, there's no way that's 12 or 13 years.
I was like, that time is flying.
I was like, I know.
I mean, it would have to be Flacco, probably.
Someone said Nick Foles.
Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Last year, I mean.
Purdy's
because So here's the rest. I can just give you the name of quarterbacks. I'm never going to tell you Mahomes. He's been in a million of them. So just know he's been the other quarterback. Purdy, Hurts, Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford. I mean, I would say Hurts, Burrow, Matt Stafford. Those are not mediocre quarterbacks. Those are top seven quarterbacks in the NFL.
Nope.
Purdy, you can make the argument for. Jimmy G, there's my answer. That's the worst quarterback in the last 25 years to make it. Jimmy G or Nick Foles. I guess actually there's more than, you know, in retrospect.
But not against each other.
Just more, no, just one. It's always just one. And more times than I think.
Someone said Rex
Jimmy
Grossman.
G, Brock Purdy, Nick Foles. Those aren't exactly like Joe Flacco. Oh, you know what? That's the word. That's the last time that it was two Rex, that you would say.
That was over 15.
The last time you would say 2012, in which there were two.
It's Kaepernick, right?
Will be. Yeah, Kaepernick, Flacco.
But we have to remember how Kaepernick. I know. Look, let's take away everything we now know about the situation.
That's not how we viewed
it. At the time, Kaepernick was playing well. Let's completely remove what we all know has gone on since. But I'm just saying, from at that instant, nobody thought Kaepernick was a bad quarterback. I know people's opinions have changed drastically for a variety of reasons, but like
that was in fairness, he wasn't top. He wasn't top five or top seven.
And people are
Flacco or Kaepernick. I don't think because
Eli's not in that category.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Breeze, Manning, Brady, all those guys were in at the same time as Flacco and Kaepernick.
Yeah, Big Ben, all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaepernick, I don't know, man.
I mean, Rex Grossman was 06.
If we
go back to 06, then of course Rex Grossman's like the answer of all answers.
Knowing what we know.
Is he worse than Trent Dilfer?
I think so, yes.
Knowing what we know now, career-wise, the answer is Colin Kaepernick. It just like, he will have the worst career out of all of them. At the time he made that Super Bowl, people in the NFL were talking like he was the next superstar quarterback. Mm-hmm.
He was really good.
He was in his second year in the NFL. He drug a team to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, people were high on him at that time. But it could be the same Brock Purdy thing, you know?
Yeah, it depends if we cut it off 15 years or not. Because we go way back, you can start, as you said, different eras of football.
Kerry Collins.
But again, that was like 05 and earlier, not 2015 and later, like we were kind of talking about. So anyway, fun conversation about potential matchups in the Super Bowl. Up next, I want to talk about what could be happening for the college football playoffs, some tweaks already being discussed, and who the Browns are going to be missing on Sunday.
You know, it's festive. Drew remembers that the people told us that we should play more Christmas music. I've had some people suggest I make Christmas songs.
No, we don't need that
part. You're talking about like a Christmas carol?
Like a Cody and Gold Christmas carol about this show and our enemies now, essentially. But, you know, it's also a cookie exchange day. I brought cookies to the cookie exchange. I made them last night. Are you guys going to have one? You guys going to try one of the cookies I made?
There must be 10 different plates of cookies. Mm. Drew, did you bring any in?
I did not.
I did not either. No, you're good. I did not either.
I'd say half store-bought, half homemade.
That makes sense. You, of course, went homemade. I mean, stunner of the century.
Shocker. Yeah, I know. You know.
So what did you make?
I'd never made them before. They're called cannoli cookies.
Always extra with these.
What? You can't extra?
I mean, just always something.
Mini chocolate chips.
I can respect it.
Pistachio, orange zest. Just made into a cookie, and then I drizzled them with chocolate.
Just too much.
Which part? The drizzle with chocolate? That was too much?
The chocolate chip, obviously good. Orange zest, there's nothing wrong with it, but then it's like, you're like, okay, chocolate and then pistachio. Not enough. Have to add orange zest. Not enough.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's good. We could try them. I typically not a pistachio guy. You're more of a nut guy than I am, Cody, but...
Debatable. But also, like, what do you have against a pistachio? It's a delightful one.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Do you like pistachio ice cream?
I've never had pistachio ice cream.
I'm surprised you haven't.
Have you?
I haven't.
Okay, well, I don't. I mean...
I have not either.
I just want basically the...
You just want a chocolate chip Toll House.
A chocolate chip Toll House that's a little underbaked.
That's it?
That's what I want. Or a good snickerdoodle. Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, I would guess I have
made... Well, go get a plate of cookies. We'll bring some up.
I would guess that I've made 15... different types of cookies this year.
What?
I would ballpark that's the number. 10 to 15 different types of cookies this year.
Okay.
I would personally power rank this as the number one cookie I've made this entire year. So I think...
Where did you get this recipe?
Online. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like the internet? Not my grandmama or whatever.
I wanted a good story. It's my grandmother's 30-year-old recipe, and I found it for the first time in my life, and I made it. I wanted a good story.
Sometimes I want to make a new type of bread or a new type of cookie, and I go looking, and this cannoli cookie is like, wow, you know what? That sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to see what that's all about.
I just think when you went chocolate chip, you went pistachio, orange zest, you might as well have thrown a green onion in there, and then you would have been set.
By the way, the green things in there are pistachios, not green onion. Sure? I want to make that very clear.
I guess whoever tastes it first will find out. Somebody's grabbed a cookie.
How many different?
There'd be people on the text line to kill for this cookie, you know? And you're treating it like, I guess I'll try it. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a sideshow to you. Drew, will you go grab two cookies? I'm afraid they'll run out too quick. You guys won't get a chance to try.
That might be a very popular cookie.
I don't want to say for sure.
Wow.
So if you will grab two cookies, for one for you and one for Gold, I would like you two to try them maybe in the next half hour.
Hmm. All right. We'll let him go do that. I'm definitely, before I go home today, going to grab a bunch of these other ones.
Sometimes, you didn't even bring any.
Yeah, but every year I go down there, and the boss is always like, hey, we got a ton after. Please take them. Please take some. So
you're saying they're just begging you to take them at
the end? Yeah, and usually what happens is I usually put like two on a plate, and I just eat it on the drive home. That's it.
You just eat a chocolate chip cookie on the way home? I will say, Joanne made just chocolate chip cookies. They looked quite
beautiful. That's what I'm talking about.
They look like a nice homemade. They looked kind of doughy. I'm not going to lie.
You guys should
look at your style of chocolate chip cookie.
You guys should see how offended Cody gets when he sees store-bought cookies. Like, I mean, just he's disgusted.
I mean, what's the point? It's a cookie exchange. I don't need you. And if you're going to buy a store-bought one, at least make it like I saw an Italian wedding cookie. At least make it an exotic cookie. Don't buy
That's the issue.
Like, don't buy me some store-bought Chips Ahoy.
Well, trash cookie. If someone brought in a package of Chips Ahoy, that's kind of weak and pathetic. I'm with you there.
No one did, but I was just like, don't do that, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'd rather you bring no cookie than you slide a pack of holiday Oreos on that table, okay?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And you don't like Oreos, but just in general, okay? It's got to be at least get it from a local market or something. Mm-hmm. If you're adding it to the cookie,
how do you feel about the no bake cookies? That's right up my alley, right there.
Slice and bake,
and then back when they used to have the whole like roll of it or whatever instead of the tub, the roll. Man, you would cut the end of the roll, and then if you were lucky enough, I don't know about you, like my parents would make the cookies, but then at the end, you know, maybe you'd be lucky to get the piece there and it had all the cookie dough still in it. Oh, that was the best. That was the best.
This is what you should bake. Then you get that experience for yourself.
No, but I would just want the raw cookie dough, which is terrible for you. Drew has brought plates.
Were there enough left?
Let's see what.
There are at least probably 10 left.
10 left.
10? Well, I mean, that's like.
So, you brought two.
Wow, he brought you a chocolate chip cookie
Look
too.
Look at this. Look
Unbelievable.
At this. Well, he brought it for himself too. He's like, I loaded up. All right, so real quick, let's just get this out of the way then.
Are you just going to do it now? Okay.
All right, so one is a chocolate chip, like a good classic solid chocolate chip.
Yeah, show it to the camera so people can see.
Now, look, your cookie looks great. Like,
that's a good-looking cookie.
Here's what I like about it. It's a lighter color, which tells me it's definitely going to be soft and chewy inside, right? That's a good start. I can see that. The drizzle on top is good. I don't see the orange zest here. Let me open it up.
The orange zest is mixed into the dough.
I know. Let me open it up.
Oh, the cookie smells good, too.
I can't smell. You guys know that, unfortunately. The smell's gone again. All right, so there's a little green.
Look at that texture in there, you know? That's a good cookie texture.
I mean, I can tell it's soft. All right, here we go.
Drew's trying it as well. He's giving it a good smell. Right. Verdict? He's thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all in. You know?
Drew?
There's a chocolate. There's a heavy chocolate.
Yeah, you're going to get a bite of that.
I'm trying to taste the pistachio.
So you don't think it's over pistachio, you see?
No, which is good.
What's the verdict, Drew?
It's good. Now, I don't know if this is because I can't smell and my taste is off on stuff. It kind of just tastes like a chocolate chip cookie. It's good. I don't taste much of the pistachio.
Might also be your
Drew, your own you tell, Drew, what are you tasting?
I've never had a pistachio before, so I don't know what pistachio tastes like. I think I'm tasting the zest a little bit more.
You're getting that orange a little bit?
I think I'm getting the orange a little bit. I'm sure the pistachio is there, if I could pronounce it right. I think it's good. I like it, though. Yeah.
Seems like a well-received cookie.
So the reason I got Gold the chocolate chip cookie was mainly because I also thought it would be funny for him to test out the chocolate chip cookie and then judge between the two of them.
Yeah. Give him a second. He's gonna need to take a drink, I think, in between and make a decision on this.
No, this cookie's very good.
Can I tell you, did you eat the whole cookie?
No.
Can I tell you something about the cookie there's an ingredient there I know you don't like?
Oh, gosh.
I listed all the ingredients.
Cody actually put shrimp in this thing.
I'm trying to poison
That's
you.
Why I had a weird aftertaste.
No, there's one ingredient that doesn't really add taste, that only adds to the texture. There is ricotta in that cookie.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't tell me that. Yeah, I don't like it, but you don't taste it.
It doesn't. It's,
all right, do we know whose
are Joanne's.
These are Joanne's. So this is your standard.
I'm going to be honest. It looks like a really good chocolate chip cookie.
It does. I'm not. I won't argue that. It's a good looking chocolate chip cookie.
See, now we're talking. There's classic buttery chocolate chip cookie.
Is that it?
Oh yeah.
Dang.
Can't be bothered.
Just like that.
Just dismissing.
I mean, the taste difference is amazing. I mean, I can taste the heavy butter flavor in this chocolate chip cookie. Now we're talking, man.
I'm going to be honest.
That recipe I made took 2 sticks of butter.
Joanne, these cookies are great. I will say, shout out to my mom. Nothing beats my mom's chocolate chip cookies. Still.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Thank you for grabbing those, Drew.
Someone says it's a poor cookie if you can't taste the signature ingredient. Drew doesn't know what a pistachio tastes like, and Alex has, like, long COVID or something.
Yeah, I've never had
this is not the best tasting panel I've ever had.
You got your smell and taste back, but then it went away again?
I have taste. The smell, as of last December, was gone. It came back for 3 weeks, like 2 months ago, and I can't smell anything.
During the break, we'll have to run down and get you a couple cookies as well, Cody, so you can try some other people's.
But yes, the actual chocolate cookie, I prefer the taste of that. Yours isn't bad at all. The texture is top-notch. I'll give you the texture.
That's a great textured
cookie. I taste the chocolate chip, but other than that, it's not a bland cookie by any means, but...
You're not getting the pistachio.
I like the heavy butter flavored taste in the chocolate chip.
I probably should have gotten a different cookie other than chocolate chip if you wanted gold to give you, I guess, the better review of the two cookies, because chocolate chip is your cookie, right?
It is.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying them. Let's talk some college football.
Let's do it. So, college football playoff gets going next week, right? We have the opening round games. Those will be on campus sites. A lot of controversy about the whole setup. And we know that the way it worked this year, the four top conference champions got the bye. And that's where a lot of the conversation is. Can they tweak that so that you know, Boise State wasn't actually the third-ranked team in the country, but they got the 3 seed. You know, Clemson was the last automatic qualifier because they won their conference, but they were technically like the 16th ranked team. And so how do you balance that out? I think that's a fair thing they need to change. But there's already discussion come the 2030s, early 2030s, when they can really make wholesale changes, potentially expand it again, what that could look like. How do we reward conference championship weekend, but maybe we turn it into a play-in weekends? Listen to Josh Pate. He was talking about college football expansion and the idea that what we now know as conference championship weekend could turn into play-in games that get you, let's say a Big Ten has 3 spots, suddenly spot number 3 is up for grabs in a play-in game.
The rest of this is subjective. Let's just go back to the one thing that's crystal clear: conference standings. Well, the only way they can do that is if they know they got a guaranteed amount of seats at the table. But if you know you got a guaranteed amount of seats at the table, then all you have to do is look at the SEC standings. And the way you would figure this out, and the way you would reward your teams for having a good year, is you take Texas at number 1, they get one of the chairs. They don't have to play another game. Georgia, number 2, they get one of the chairs. They don't have to play another game. You may say to yourself, Josh, aren't they going to go to the SEC championship game? Nope, I'm getting to that. Hold on. Those two are already in. Now, Tennessee, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Alabama are the next 4 highest-ranked SEC teams in this given year. Well, here's what you do with your conference championship weekend. You actually create 2 games instead of 1, but they're not conference championship games anymore. They are play-in games. And so 3 would play 6. Tennessee would face Alabama in one of those. Winner gets the 3rd chair. South Carolina would play Ole Miss. Winner gets the 4th chair. That's how you figure out how your 4 SEC teams are going to be in the dance. Same things happening simultaneously in the Big Ten. So what you've done there is you've actually added inventory for your media partner. You changed what conference championship weekend used to be into what is called play-in weekend, whatever you want to call it. And you crystallized the idea of your conference championship race having maximum meaning and more teams being involved all the way to the finish line.
So that was Josh Pate's explanation, and there was also a Yahoo article explaining that this has been discussed to some extent. If they're going to expand the field, I don't hate this where, hey, you win the regular season conference crown, you're the conference champion, there's no conference title game, but you get the 1 spot or the 2 spots, whatever it would be, from that respective conference. So let's say that the SEC and Big Ten
have
3 or 4 spots. If you win the regular season SEC title, you get your guaranteed qualified spot. If you're number 2, you probably get a guaranteed qualified spot. But for spot 3 and 4 in the SEC or Big Ten, or spot 2, let's say, in the Big 12, you got to play a game.
At the very least, so I don't think the SEC and the Big Ten should get 4 automatic qualifiers. But I've also accepted the fact that that's probably not up to me, and that the other conferences, in order to guarantee themselves at least 2, will probably have to agree to this. Because at this point, The Big 12 is probably better off agreeing to let the Big 10 and the SEC have four if you get guaranteed two. Because you got one extra team in the college football playoff this year if you had agreed to that system, and that would be the case. But at least it feels like they earn it a little bit. You're the sixth best team in the SEC. You can't be any worse than that. You don't deserve to be anywhere near a college football playoff if you're worse than sixth in the SEC. And we're still going to make you play a team to get it in, and you actually get the natural bye and break that the team who finished number one in the conference, I think, deserves. You get two games instead of one for the conference championship weekend. Then you get those teams back into the college football playoff after. This seems like kind of an easy one.
Well, let's localize it. So Missouri was actually in the standings like the seventh or eighth team. So they'd be out, but they lose to South Carolina. Their season's not over. We came on the show and said, yeah, they're not making the playoff. You could go all the way through the finish line and still get into that sixth spot. Let's take the Big 12. So you have 4-4 in the Big 10 and SEC. That's eight teams. Let's say they expanded to 16. So the 16 available spots, eight are gone. I think if you're the ACC or the Big 12, you've got to say, we need three spots at the table, the top two, same as the SEC and Big 10. And then you have 4-3 or 3-4 rather play, which would be BYU and K-State would play.
That's
a play-in game to get that third spot. So then you have two spots left. You make that the group of four or the group of five spots.
But if you go 4-4-2-2, it has to be a 16-team field.
Yeah, correct.
It just feels like you're getting too much. Can it just be 3-3-2-2? And then, like, I understand that, but, like, the number one gets the bye, and then 2-3 got to play, 4-5,
I think that's all open for their
discussion. 4 just feels like so many.
I think that's all open for their, discussion, and they're trying to figure it out. But, yes, this idea would require expansion. This idea is not happening until, like, 2031 or 2032.
And there's no way that 12 teams it would be possible. It would have to be 16.
But I don't hate the concept of it, which, someone's like, can you put it part of the bracket? Well, yeah, basically it would be. It'd be like when we look at the insulated bracket,
like, and the first four.
The first four, if anybody that fills out a bracket, it has a spot. You may not actually pick the first four games. Some people do, but it has a spot for the first four in your bracket. So you would have in the top left corner would say whatever we want to call these automatic qualifier play in game one, two, three, four, whatever. It would be part of the field. Technically, it'd be part of the bracket. You would get into that. Right now, these conference title games, we know this past weekend, a couple of them meant a lot. A couple.
But some of them are just seeding.
The Clemson SMU game meant a ton. For Clemson wouldn't have got in without that.
Big 12 was great.
The Big 12 won. The Mountain West one did. The SEC one, not really. It moved some seeding around, but ultimately it wasn't a play in your in type of game. Whereas these would literally be play in games.
Play and you're in. Like, no question about it. This is the setup.
So, and what this also does is there's no longer a strength of schedule argument. You're not comparing anymore. You know that there's four SEC, four Big Ten, three Big 12, and three ACC teams, and then there's two for the group of five, where I think you could actually have some fun with this. Notre Dame's not on a conference, so they would be stuck in those last few spots, but it would be Boise State and Notre Dame, and then it'd be UNLV and Army. They play against each other, and whoever wins those two games gets two spots in the playoffs. So everybody has their seeds, and there's no, well, we're better than SMU, so we belong in, because to your point, Cody, if Alabama can't finish in the top six, you don't belong in the conversation anyways.
I agree, but it will create the people who are upset. It'll essentially create the NFL's divisional model, where, like, there will be a bad third Big 12 team or a bad fourth SEC team in a year where you're like,
sure,
them? The fourth team in the SEC who happened to win their 6-3 matchup, and you're like, ew.
Yeah, this is
they're
also
not
where...
even good. But, like, you know what? I don't mind it. I mean, it's a professional-based sport. Why not do a playoff system?
This is where I think the Big Ten and SEC will ensure they get three or four, and the Big 12 is only getting two. And some of it will be dub money, but also to your point, I mean, if the third best team in the Big 12 in most years is going to be worse than the third best team in the SEC, like 90% of the time. Like it just
is
going to be
the sixth. I don't know, the fourth best or
but
fifth
we know
best.
The Big 10 and SEC are always, I mean, it's just the reality of where we're trending with this. Yeah. Like, they're always going to get a better package deal. I mean, that's unfortunately where it's going. I don't hate this concept. The only thing they can really change, though, in the next couple years would be the seeding stuff. They can't expand until for years. We ran into that last time, right? That's why it took so long for them to go to 4-12. They can't just next year decide to go to 16. It doesn't work that way. They can, though, next year if they want, if they get approval, they can do the seeding differently. They can change the four highest ranked conference champions get a bye. They can rework that, and they should.
There's another part of this that I think I just now realized, and somebody texted in, this reduces the impact of preseason rankings. You technically...
No, those shouldn't matter anyway.
The committee, technically, there's nothing for them to do anymore, because everything is standings based. Like what Josh was saying, you go off the standings. There's no more debates within the committee. Almost
the committee would just be deciding 14-15. Yeah, they'd be almost deciding at large.
It almost isn't needed other than them doing seeding. Like if you know, okay, four.
Yeah,
Big
they would
Ten
still
teams,
have to decide
like,
the top Big Ten team. Are they higher ranked than the top SEC?
I'll be honest, they're not doing anything anyway. They're just copying pasting the AP poll.
But in terms of them actually putting the teams that are in, that's already being decided for you, which I think is kind of nice where you're almost taking the human element out of it, but it's in control of the teams who are actually vying to get in, as opposed to external ADs and external forces who are trying to pick which teams are better, and some are active, and they don't like a certain conference, and then it gets all crazy and unnecessarily biased.
I know it's a college basketball thing. Is anyone filling out like a college football bracket, like it's a bracket?
I've already filled
out. There's a couple contests. So you and I were talking off air about this yesterday. I don't think we can do it officially through the station, but I think we're going to do something. If you follow our Twitter accounts, we're thinking about just doing one with a small potential buy-in, unofficially, not through the station.
We're not allowed to do it.
Will in no way be associated with 96.5 The Fan or Odyssey.
That's right. We're not allowed to do it through the station, but on my personal Twitter account, we can. So I think we're going to do something on my personal Twitter account and be on the lookout for that in the next week.
I mean, at this rate, we have a week until the first game starts, so.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll set it up this weekend. Yeah. Seems like something that's good to set up.
It'll fill up this quick. Weekend.
So anyway, that's what's being thrown out there around potential changes to the college football playoff. And some of it makes plenty of sense. You guys watched last night's game, Thursday Night Football, a terrible game. Rainy, 12-6 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Final score.
Gross.
Both teams, to say the least, really struggled. What, 11 punts in the first quarter? I mean, it wasn't a good football game. Plain and simple. This was your Thursday night game that you always hate, right? And most people hate. Most of them have not been this way this year.
No, it's actually been a good
slate. Last Thursday was good. This was a terrible football game. The Niners are done. The Rams are very much alive in the NFC West race. But what people are talking about out of that game is something we've seen a few times in the NFL happen. To a certain extent, which is a player quitting in a game. It's happened like a handful of times. The Bills player, unfortunately, has since passed away.
Vontae Davis,
he quit at halftime and retired. He unfortunately passed away recently. But last night, Devondre Campbell was active. He's on the sideline. Now, he lost his playing time because one of the better linebackers in the game was back from his ACL injury, Greenlaw, that he hurt against the Chiefs in Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he's a better player. He's one of the better linebackers. So naturally, they gave him the playing time.
Shocker.
He was, it sounds like, maybe upset, the backup was. And then when they asked him to go in the game later because the starter got hurt, he said no. And then he walked to the locker room and that was it. And Kyle Shanahan addressed it after the game. And the teammates of...
buried him.
Devondre Campbell basically are like, yeah, we know this guy is going to get cut. Listen to George Kittle talk about Campbell quitting on the team mid-game.
Not disbelief or disconnection, like, as a team. That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a – or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a – one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision, and I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that, and I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
I mean, it's over for Devondre Campbell on the
Niners.
He can't
walk back in and
show his
face.
Have George Kittle, one of the biggest stars and leaders on the team, saying, I hope I don't want to be around someone that would do that. Like when George Kittle is saying that guy can't be on the team. Trevor Arias Ward, former Chief. Here's what he said about Devondre Campbell literally quitting in the middle of the game.
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told him that before the game. So I feel like there was some stuff he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know. And I think Flynn was banged up too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon. So, you know, it is what it is with that.
He's going to get cut unless there's something way more to the story here. And who knows, maybe he's going through some stuff as well. And obviously, if that's the case, that's something that I hope gets addressed for him. And he's good. But you can't expect to be on a football team when you quit on your teammates in the middle of a game. I don't, you know, honestly, like you flat out said, I'm not playing.
Will you go in the game, please? And he's like, pass.
Yeah, he's done.
No, I've never. I mean, it happens once every like 5 or 6 years. Somebody just doesn't show up. That's what.
But
remember,
is this guy retiring?
We talked
about
this with Anthony Richardson. We buried him for taking a playoff. He tapped out for a play, and his teammates were mad. This guy just wouldn't go into the game.
Yeah, you were getting paid, literally paid to play that day, and you decided not.
You pulled a Deontay Johnson, basically.
I mean, I understand sometimes I hate comparing your life, your work, your occupation to a football player because it's just not the same workplace at all. However, we all know if all of a sudden you just flat out told your boss, like, no, I'm not working today, there's a very good chance you're just getting fired. You're done.
Yeah. If today at noon, I'm like, I'm out of here.
If specifically, whatever your job is, whatever you do for a living and your boss asks you to go perform a job task or go on a job site and you just
would
like
be expected
no
of your job
like hey we need you, this is what you do on a regular basis, and you just flat out told him no, not today, and walked off, there's a very good chance you're getting fired. So nobody should be I don't know how you defend the guy here. I mean, it's plain as day, just flat out quit.
Deontay Johnson didn't go in. This is twice in the last
got suspended.
3 weeks.
Now, his wasn't as what saved him was his wasn't as public. I mean, this was in Deontay Johnson.
He walked off the field,
but it's not gotten near the attention that this just got. This on Thursday night football.
Because Mike Tomlin knows how to bury a story, and correct, this one didn't get buried. I mean, and like his teams, like the other difference is like none of Deontay Johnson's teammates really like buried. They talked about it a little. Every single member of the 49ers after that game buried him. Kittle, Ward.
I think it was Ward who said we needed a linebacker because Greenlaw had come out like he had said, hey, I need somebody to come in. Yeah. They brought it up on the broadcast, and I guess at that point,
in a 9-6 game,
Devondre Campbell had already been like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, or 6-6 game, or whatever the hell it was then. That game was ugly.
So he like sincerely let them down.
If it's something beyond football, obviously, I wish the best to Devondre Campbell to obviously focus on that. But you can't keep your job when you're flat out quitting on your teammates or something. It should be pretty simple. Would not surprise me at all during the show today if we find out that the 49ers cut him. And I don't think anybody should be upset if that's the case. Up next, so let's get right back to the Chiefs with our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe from Chiefs on SI. We'll ask him about who's playing left tackle on Sunday. I think this is like the third week in a row we've asked him that question, but it's valid yet again. That's next.